The New England Patriots return from the West Coast at 1-3, and you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Gerard Mayo will be here at Gillette with us in about an hour at 9:30 or so. But right now, Boomer Esiason, and Boomer is brought to you this week by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com, by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, by Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And Boomer is brought to you by your New England Kubota tractor dealers. Hey, Boomer.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm wondering how you guys are doing. Are you guys okay?
Well, we are at Gillette Stadium, where every Monday, week after week after week, used to be a celebration of dynastic greatness. And unfortunately, it isn't this morning, Boomer.
No, it's not. And combined with all the injuries that your team has, I would venture to say at this moment in time in this season, the Patriots look to be number 32 out of 32 teams as opposed to number one. That's a long way. This team has fallen a long way.
So is this the worst team in the NFL right now?
I think it is, just simply because of the lack of offense, the lack of big plays, the amount of injuries that they're dealing with, both on defense and offense. I mean, it's staggering. And they don't have Matthew Stafford back there, so he can't keep them in games. Because the Rams are going through the same thing. It's just, you know, if Jacoby's going to turn the ball over, then it's going to turn into a rout. What they hadn't done the previous 3 weeks, they really hadn't turned the ball over. And then yesterday there were three turnovers. And, you know, I'm just wondering, and I hate to do this to Gerard Mayo because I think he is a good coach and I think the players really do respect him. But, you know, if Ramondre Stevenson is going to fumble and continue to fumble, if Bill Belichick were the head coach, do you think that guy would see the field?
Wiggy?
No. He would have been in the doghouse a long time ago. But, Boomer, what the hell are we waiting for? Let's throw all that nonsense out the window. Put Drake May in the game. The team stinks. I don't get why we just don't see what we got in here. You say we don't have Matthew Stafford. Who the hell knows what we got with Drake May if they don't play the damn kid?
Yeah, I know it sounds easy to say that. I just think they're just waiting, and I understand that there's no argument. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Well, I don't want that kid to get hurt either. You know, there are a lot of things that are going on with this team right now. Their pass protection, their left tackle has been a turnstile. But there, you know, you can see Jacoby is under duress. You're hoping with a veteran quarterback that he doesn't make the mistakes. Now, this is a great interception by Fred Warner yesterday. But, I mean, anytime you have three turnovers, I can't even imagine what it would look like back there with a rookie quarterback. The one thing I will say is that he will be able to make plays with his legs. That, you know, we're not seeing that with Jacoby at all. And if you watch a lot of these games during Sundays or Monday nights tonight with two games, you're going to see quarterbacks running around and making extra plays. I would imagine that's what Drake May could bring to this offense, but I think they're just waiting until the right time to put him out there. I'm not sure when that time's going to be. But I know, Wiggy, you're frustrated. I'm sure the fans are frustrated. You want to see this young kid, but they don't want to ruin him like they ruined Mac Jones, that's for sure.
Boomer, as a quarterback, though, watching Jacoby and the ownership he's been taking, I know that he talked to his team beforehand and said, it doesn't matter how many times I go down, I'm always going to get back up for you guys. Getting sacked six times and taking full ownership for the mistakes he made. How important is that for the rest of the team to look at as a leader for these guys?
Totally respect it, Courtney. And the reason I respect it is because I lived it. I lived it back in 1995 with the New York Jets. We were obviously the worst team in the league. The next year after I had left, they had only won one game in 1996. So we were on the precipice of being really bad and rebuilding before Bill Parcells left New England to come and fix the Jets. But, you know, it's tough. You're out there. You're out with a bunch of guys that are, it's a revolving door, whether it be the offensive line, wide receiver, running backs are fumbling the ball. You're trying to get everybody on the same page. And all you could do is stand tall and just be the professional that you are. I do respect what Jacoby is doing. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, right now, I don't, even if you had Patrick Mahomes, it would be untenable right now for any quarterback. That's why I think they're reticent to put in Drake May at the moment.
Kendrick Bourne made the trip with them. If he's available this week, does that
change things somehow.
I don't know. I mean, unless they're playing 7-on-7, it's 7-on-7 means no defensive and no offensive linemen on the field, which is more or less flag football. But it doesn't matter. Like I said, the offensive line has got to get fixed first. The quarterback is not going to be a guy that's going to create secondary plays. He's going to try to play careful. I know what they're trying to do. I know what their winning formula is. I mean, they almost beat Seattle. They did beat Cincinnati with the winning formula. Don't turn the ball over. Play smart offense. Play field position. Kick a couple field goals. And hopefully you can keep the score combined under 40. And if you can do that, then that's the winning. That's kind of the winning formula for the Patriots. And we are so far away from where we were when the miserable Tom Brady was running the team, and Baker Mayfield, I guess, said he was miserable down in Tampa, but all he did was win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I long for the days of Tom being the most miserable 8-0 quarterback. But my thing, Boomer, is this is now the fourth consecutive year the Patriots are 1-3 after four games. And this roster, the pathetic nature of it, is a choice by the owner of this team. They could have spent more money this offseason. They were not going to win a Super Bowl. They probably weren't going to win the division. But watching this product yesterday was offensive. And I don't understand how you enter a season knowing that the offensive line will sustain injuries as weak and as thin as they elected to this year.
Yeah, and you lose David Andrews now. I don't know how long that's going to be, but I think this is a rebuilding year for them. I think they recognize that. I would imagine that they're going to spend a lot of money in the offseason. They're going to have another high draft pick. This is how you rebuild in today's NFL. And we all knew, listen, everybody knew coming in that this was going to be a hard year. Everybody knew it was going to be a slog. Everybody knew that really the only thing to look forward to in terms of the Patriots was when was Drake May going to take over and what was he going to look like? So I just want to be realistic. I mean, I didn't have any expectations for the Patriots to make the playoffs. I didn't have any expectations for the Patriots to win the division, maybe because of what the Miami Dolphins are going through right now with their own quarterback situation. Maybe somehow, some way, they stay even with them this year. But if things stay the way they are, I would think that they're going to have a top two draft pick next year, which will help in the development of the quarterback, but also help the front office be able to either take somebody at number two or one or trade that out and start rebuilding the team like some other teams around the league have done. I think that's exactly the game plan going forward into this year and then beyond that.
Every time we ask Gerard Mayo about starting Drake May, he brings up the plan. Now, nobody will say what the plan was. When the plan allows for Drake May to start, what was the plan? Like when you draft a quarterback at number three, and then you go into the season with Jacoby Brissett, who has been in the league a long time, and that's about all we can say for him. What was the plan?
The plan is not what Carolina did to Bryce Young. I can tell you that the plan is not what the Jets did to Zach Wilson. The plan is to bring this kid along slowly. The plan is to figure out the best time to put him in the game, watch him in practice, listen to him in meetings, make sure that he knows everything that's going on. I mean, a 40-year-old quarterback leading the Jets yesterday got hit with a safety blitz. I thought I'd seen everything after watching Aaron Rodgers be completely caught off guard by a safety blitz in the heart of the game when you're thinking to yourself, this guy has seen everything and he can react to everything, and he didn't react at all to it. So now put that all the way to the other end of the spectrum, and you have a young quarterback with a very, very shaky offensive line. Those two combinations do not work out, guys. I'm telling you, the last thing they want is to have Drake May get hurt. So this is going to be a learning year for him. Eventually, he'll get on the field at some point. I don't think it really matters at the present moment. I would think that probably after their bye, assuming that a Jacoby Brissett does not get hurt.
Well, you told us who the worst team in the league is right now. The Vikings have now beaten the Niners, the Texans, and the Packers. Are they the best team in the NFL right now?
I mean, they look fantastic. And this week they got to go to London and they got to play the Jets on Sunday morning. So the Jets are going to see another ghost of the past, and that's going to be Sam Darnold, who saw a ghost when he was playing New England. He's not seeing ghosts anymore. He's seeing Justin Jefferson and Addison, and he's seeing an offensive juggernaut that is being run by Kevin O'Connell, their head coach. You know, I often talk about matching coaches with quarterbacks and whether or not those quarterbacks can become who they are with the coach, with the offense that they're running. Sam Darnold's lucky. He went to quarterback school last year. He went to San Francisco, didn't play it down. Watch Brock Purdy, watch Kyle Shanahan, how they ran the offenses. Signed a $10 million a year, bet on himself, $10 million contract, bet on himself this year in Minnesota. And right now, he is looking like, you know, the second coming, for the Minnesota Vikings. So this is a huge game this week in London. I'm assuming that they're favorites as I wake up this morning, and I would imagine that he's got a lot of pent-up energy to go after the Jets, come Sunday.
Greg rigs up the Vikings, and you look at them, the Chiefs, the Seahawks, the only three undefeated teams so far through 4 weeks. For week five, you see the first real big bye of the week. For players and for coaches, is this the first time where you get a better sense of who you are as a team, where people are able to take a step back, the teams that have a bye can reevaluate, and this is where maybe going into week six we get a better sense of who we have?
Yeah, I think that there are teams like Baltimore and Cincinnati that won yesterday, and Baltimore just absolutely drilled Buffalo last night, much like Buffalo drilled Jacksonville last week. Most of the coaches think that the first 4 weeks are preseason, and then, the final 13 weeks are where you really make your move. And it seems like Cincinnati got their act together the last couple weeks offensively. Their defense is still struggling. I felt like the Houston Texans played a great game yesterday, and C.J. Stroud, had a nice bounce-back game as they beat Jacksonville. But there are teams out there like Jacksonville, like the Patriots, and, of course, you look at the Giants, where they are in trouble, and they know they're in trouble. They know that this is going to be a long season. The question is, are coaches like Doug Peterson and Brian Daboll going to be long for their teams this time next year? I guess it all depends on how these next 13 weeks kind of shake out, but there are guys that are really teetering right now, especially some of these teams that are not doing well. And I could sit here and tell you that the Los Angeles Rams are bad because of all the injuries. I could say that the New England Patriots are bad because of all the injuries. But, you talk about the Arizona Cardinals, you talk about the Giants who spent a lot of money in the offseason. Those are coaches that I would worry about long term with their respective franchises.
Is Nick Sirianni's job in jeopardy?
I would say, too, yeah. I mean, simply because they hired coordinators, and I don't feel like he had any say in who they hired as coordinators. And that tells me that the GM doesn't respect the head coach, and that's a big deal. It's a big deal in Philadelphia. I mean, they win a tough game at New Orleans last week, so maybe New Orleans is not as good as we all thought they were, but Baker Mayfield bounced back, and I mean, just ripped through Philadelphia. It was interesting thinking about what Baker was saying about Tom Brady. There is something to be said about winning all those Super Bowls and showing up and holding everybody accountable, and it is not – it's not a spa. It's not a retreat. It's a professional football team, for God's sakes.
It's not Disney, as Tom said. Right?
Exactly. I agree with him 100%. And until some of these players realize it, they'll be stuck in mediocrity, and he'll stand alone as the greatest of all time.
Question of the week for Boomer, brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services. Find them at McFarlandEnergy.com. Is Jaden Daniels the front runner for Offensive Rookie of the Year right now?
100%. 100% he is. I mean, Malik Nabers will be there towards the end. It's kind of like Mac Jones and Jamar Chase, the year that those guys came out, where I thought Mac should have been the offensive rookie of the year, but Jamar had a second half of the season to remember. So Jaden Daniels right now, leader in the clubhouse. Malik Nabers, I would think, is a close second given his explosive nature with the Giants. But I think because Washington is going to obviously win more games than the Giants, he is definitely probably going to come away with it.
Well, Jaden Daniels behind that strong offensive line they get down there in Washington. Boomer, you know what I'm tired of as somebody, as a fan and somebody who sits in, talks about this every day and listens to all
losing.
The ex.
Well, you're tired of losing is what you're
yeah,
tired
I am
of,
tired of losing. No, but I'm tired of the low-hanging fruit like, oh, he's going to get hurt if you put him in the game. So I would ask you this question. What's the difference between week five and week 14 after the bye week?
His own experience, just understanding better what they're trying to do offensively, communication with his teammates. You know this, Jermaine. Come on. Like, I don't know if you've ever – did you ever play with a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, but I also – I have, but I also know that the experience –
He takes credit for Tom Brady.
I also know, as a player, the experience that you actually get from playing puts you a lot further along than sitting behind somebody – and never being able to get the only experience you get is sitting there in the classroom listening to the coach say, oh, you do this, you do that. So I don't subscribe to the...
I don't want to be disrespectful to a tight end. I don't. you guys block and catch, and you do your little thing over there, and then you go and sit on the sideline for a couple of plays, and then you come back out on there. The quarterback's got to stay out there the whole time. Uh-huh. He's got to communicate to everybody. He's got to change protections at the line of scrimmage. He's got to read what the defense is doing. You read one or two guys. I got to read 11. You know, I got to see what the hell's going on. I got to see the defensive fronts. Do we have the right run call? Do we have the right personnel on the field? You know, all you guys are sitting there looking like me, and I got to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And if I don't know what the hell I'm doing, then you're not going to know what the hell you're doing, and I'm going to end up getting killed.
Yeah. I don't know what type of tight ends you played with. You had to tell them what to do.
You explained it. Well, I think you got it. All right, Boomer. Well,
Well, hang in there. All I can tell you is just hang in there. You know what? The draft is about, what, 6 months away, and then we'll, you know, you guys will be on the clock.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Red Sox end the season with a win 3-1, the final from Fenway Park, but no one was talking about that this morning. They're all talking about this. Here's Joe Castiglione's goodbye from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show.
My 42 years here have gone so quickly, but now it's time to say goodbye to Red Sox Nation, at least on a regular basis, and to pass the baton to my good friend, Will Fleming.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Wow. Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Thank you, and to Sean McDonough, too, a great friend. We go back many, many years with the Red Sox. And
That's nice.
Emotional.
He was over. I told you he was overcome with emotion.
I need to hear that transition one more time.
Will was overcome with emotion, Curtis.
Did somebody die?
Oh, that's nice. You work with somebody for a long time, and I thought that was nice.
That is the most shocking thing.
Why is it shocking?
How long did they work?
They've worked together for 2 years.
But baseball seasons are long. Nice. He's a role model for people.
I think Joe Castiglione deserved that awesome weekend. 42 years. This has nothing to do with him. That is a bizarre reaction.
I think a lot of people cried listening to Joe at the end.
You think a lot of people cried?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think a lot of fans.
Yeah. I mean, maybe.
Guacamole.
Maybe.
Maybe he was crying.
Beautiful words by a beautiful man.
That might be as worse as the Rich Keefe. Rich Keefe is... When it was Michael Hawley.
What are you talking about?
Michael Hawley. When Rich cried on air.
Oh, Rich cried.
That had more to do with being stuck with Dale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rich cried
and
on
it's been a blast.
That was amazing.
Well, that does make me think, do I get to pick my successor?
Ooh.
Here on WEEI in however many years I have left,
those are beautiful words by a beautiful man.
Yeah.
I'd like to hand the baton to my good friend Chris Curtis.
No, Boston would try.
Okay.
You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today. The Patriots lose to the Niners 30-13 in San Francisco. Jacoby Brissett was sacked 6 times in the loss. But Boomer Esiason still not ready to say, hey, throw Drake May in there.
No.
He is staying with Jacoby Brissett, as is a lot of the other experts, like Greg's been saying all morning long.
Yep.
Jacoby completed 19 of 32 passes for 168 yards, an interception, and a touchdown.
Well, and Boomer gave you an answer. You said when you asked these guys, what's the difference between week 5 this week and week 12, 13, or 14, Boomer gave you an answer and said it's all about Drake May being ready. So
it's that's the answer, being ready?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that's the answer. You're going to ask Gerard Mayo this, right? You're going to say to Gerard Mayo, what's the difference between this week and Miami?
Well, the problem is he's not going to tell us that Drake May is going to play week 12. See, Boomer and those other guys believe you should play him by week 12, week 13. Mayo's not going to tell us that.
And how do we know if May's even ready? Has anybody asked him?
No.
I think people have said, like, is he able to, like, command a huddle? And, yeah, I think
he told us that already.
Yeah,
he could.
Yeah, so there's been questions.
Right, but he's never said, Drake May, I don't want to start him right now, but I have no issue starting him week 12.
Yeah.
Like, Mayo's never said that. That's what all the experts say. Don't play him now, but play him week 12, 13. And that's why I say, well, what's the difference between now and week 12 or week 13? And they go, oh, he'll know it better. All that.
Yeah, but really, like, you have to. It's wild to me. We talked about it earlier. But the fans are really split on this. There are a lot of people, based on that poll, who think you got to wait. And maybe that's because he's going to get. They're worried about him getting his head knocked off. Worried about the offensive line. Worried about him being ruined mentally. I mean, there are way more people than I expected this morning who do not want Drake May to start.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me.
Well, we've got two NFL games tonight for Monday Night Football. We've got Titans at Dolphins at 7:30 and Seahawks at Lions at 8:15. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
All right. 55 degrees, mostly cloudy skies, afternoon high, 70 degrees and possible.
It's time for...
I grew up understanding the children of the community are the children of the community.
The news.
And I am not lying to you that I would make so many greens that I'd need to wash them in the bathtub.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Yeah. Oh, Wallace Wally Amos. Famous Amos.
Famous Amos.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health. With 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
Rod Mayo will join us here at Gillette Stadium at 9:30, or if he's smart, at 9:40 or 9:45. The long trip back, and watched a lot of film on the flight back, so we'll see if his mind has changed when it comes to the starting quarterback this week and other things when he gets here at 9:30. But right now, Courtney, in today's news.
Well, at least 95 are dead across 6 states from Hurricane Helene over the weekend. 600 people are unaccounted for. And I hate to say this in front of Curtis, but there is a hero weather smoke in the news.
Oh.
Fox Weather's Bob Van Dillen, who interrupted a live shot. He was live on the news, noticed a woman struggling in the floodwaters behind him.
Curtis is never done this.
Nope.
You've been out many times in the WEEI Storm Center.
That is correct.
You've never saved anybody's life during a record-breaking storm.
To be fair, one could make the argument that I did save Ken Laird's radio life.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. I don't know if that counts or not, but he rescued this woman live during a weather report.
Correct. If you're watching on Twitch right now, Mitch is showing the video of this going down. We can hear how this happened.
911, they're coming. You're good. You're good. Oh man, it's a situation. We will get back to you in a little bit. I'm gonna go see if I can help this lady out a little bit more, you guys. I'll be back.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we put her in the car. She was cold. I gave her my shirt. Her husband's gonna pick her up. The fire truck came. They're good. Everyone's good. So let's get back to it.
All right. I gotta tell you, I
setup.
Just saw it.
You think it's set up? Plant.
Oh, you think come
so?
On.
You think so?
No, I have no idea.
No.
I mean, that's nice. I mean,
yes.
At first he was just like, I called 911 for you. I don't want to get wet, but nice.
Hey, lady, I'm on the news.
Yeah. All right. Well, a lot of those.
More than Wiggy did. And I don't want to, like, move the baton here, but he saw somebody drowning and just stayed
I mean, I guess it's the difference between being in 30 feet of water and being in 3 feet of water and walking out. Because I looked at it, he walked out waist deep and brought her in.
Yeah. Right.
It's still dangerous.
I mean, it's a nice thing that he did.
Well, no, I mean, I would do that.
Yeah.
Right.
I would like to see him jump off a bridge in 30 feet of water when current's sucking her out to sea.
We don't need to talk about it, but you nearly let somebody drown because you wouldn't go in and save them.
Well, what they said. The worst thing you could do if you're not a trained lifeguard is jump in and try to save somebody.
That is true.
Okay.
Now there's two dead bodies they got to find.
Dear. Yeah. All right.
An SUV hit 3 pedestrians before crashing into a restaurant on Friday afternoon in Boston. It happened around 3:43 p.m. at the intersection of Stewart and Tremont at Genkiya Japanese Restaurant.
Ooh. Do you like the Japanese restaurants?
Love.
Do you like the hibachi?
Yes. Oh.
Who doesn't? I haven't done that since I was a kid.
Yeah, and that white sauce, the yum-yum sauce that they put on?
Oh, yeah, the yum-yum.
Yum-yum.
So good.
You can buy the yum-yum in the store.
Oh, you can?
But I like when they do the giant array of...
Onions,
and then they light the thing on fire, and then they flip my other favorite part,
the onion volcano.
I like that, but I also like when they flip the little shrimps into your mouth.
Oh, you like the shrimp into their mouth?
If you can catch them, your meal is free.
Do you like when they do the sake into your mouth?
I don't think I've ever. I don't know that I've ever had that before.
Oh, they usually try to shoot the sake in the mouth. Into your mouth.
Not a big sake.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing at Diddy's Freak Offs.
Yes.
Please drop me the link to the yum yum sauce. I would like to buy some.
Oh, yeah, you can. Oh, they have it in stores.
Oh, you got to send me it.
In the sauce aisle.
Okay, good to know. Two of the pedestrians were rushed to the hospital but are expected to be okay. The driver was having a seizure when this happened and was unresponsive when they tried to question him of what was going on. Some good Samaritans that watched this happen had to cut him out of his car. Here's one witness, Andrew Denny, on CBS Boston.
I turned around and it was smashed into the building, and I saw one person lying on the ground over there and someone was tending to her. She looked pretty bad. A lot of blood.
All right.
Glad
they were able to help.
Yes.
I will say that Greg saying he knows where things are at a grocery store is peak BS.
Yeah.
I do.
I get stuff ordered.
I do order.
It's in the sauce aisle.
Sometimes I go. Sometimes I go. The problem with going, I think everybody can relate to this, you buy things that you weren't intending to buy.
Yes.
Like, you see them there, and you want them, and... If you just order, you just do the go puff or whatever, you do whatever it is, then you can pick the store you want and you can get the things you want and you don't have to worry about it.
Impulse buys are really tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thomas J. Shaknovsky, we've talked about him before. He was that doctor in Florida who removed the wrong organ of a 70-year-old guy named William Bryan, leaving him dead. Mm. He has had his license suspended, which I believe is a good thing, because he removed Bryan's liver instead of his spleen on August 21st.
Guy died immediately.
Immediately.
Guy went to a doctor for surgery, and he removed the wrong organ. People go to the hospital and they're having a foot amputated. They write on it with a Sharpie to say, this is the foot you're supposed to take off, because people are not paying attention.
The saddest part about this story is he was on vacation in Florida, and he's from Alabama. He was with his wife and started having abdominal pains, went to the hospital. He said he did not want any surgery. He wanted to be able to go back home to Alabama, see his own doctor. They pushed him. Mm. He got this, and they removed his liver instead of his spleen.
The guy should be done, though, for good. Never mind suspended.
Right. Why do they have to
remove his license?
Well, and it's coming out that this isn't the first time it's happened with this doctor.
Yeah.
So, an irrational fear after a crazed groundhog attacked a jogger in New Jersey, causing the victim, 36-year-old Kate Lawson, to start screaming for help. That's when Ridge High School student Caleb Morris had just finished a cross-country run nearby. He ran to the rescue, calling 911 to get the cops there to help Lawson. But very, very good that this...
What was the groundhog crazed over?
Apparently she may have spooked the groundhog because she was on the phone, on speakerphone. Mm. He went for her phone and started trying to eat that, but attacked her in the process.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Maybe dumb, but can I ask a question? Isn't a groundhog the size of a football? Why wouldn't you just punt it?
I think once they latch on, the teeth are...
It's probably,
Teaching the teeth and the claws.
Yeah.
I don't know. They look kind of scary in Caddyshack.
It's a groundhog. It can't be that scary. It's not vicious.
Panic.
Yeah.
Be like if a rat crawled up your leg, you might hit the panic button.
Yeah,
but you could. Okay.
Yeah.
Boston residents are complaining about delayed mail delivery, with the main concern being the election coming. City Councilor Henry Santana said he's filed an emergency hearing to investigate issues concerning the U.S. Postal Service delivery. We can hear from one area resident, Maggie Cohn, on BZ.
I will get bank statements that are a year old, and I don't know where they've been. It's a total mess. It's a disaster.
Oh, my God. Just go vote like everybody else. Go to the freaking place.
Are there enough people working for the post office? I feel like the post office is struggling a little bit. I don't think people are using the mail system the way they used to. That might be the issue, or I don't I have no idea. I don't know if they're fully staffed or I don't know what's going on.
And they nickel and dime you for everything. It's the worst place to go.
Well, what do you mean?
Yeah. Well, like if you have to return something in a package, like not just mail a letter and you have to go to the post office, they'll say like, well, you need to make sure it's taped up and they don't have any tape behind the counter. So then you have to buy a roll of tape.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not their responsibility to help you get your package ready.
But they should just have tape behind the counter.
No, they don't give that out.
Slap on some tape.
Oh, so you want them to box it up for you?
It costs you like a buck to send something. Like people are like they take advantage of the post office. That's how I feel.
I feel like I am taken advantage of when I'm in there.
Do you just bring your stuff in and you hand it?
No. I have it in a box or
you got an
in
extra
a
box. Just,
she throws it. She throws it up on the counter and she's like, "Hey, can you wrap this up and tape it and send it off?"
No, here's my package.
No,
honey.
I have it all ready to go, but sometimes it's not properly taped or whatever, and I'm just like, "Oh, do you have like a strip of tape?" And they say, "No, you have to buy the whole roll
for you." They're like, "Get out of here."
So now I just have a roll in my car.
All right. Well, they should try to fix that, I guess, for people who are waiting for mail.
Experts are warning against a new TikTok trend, which they are saying can very easily backfire. It's called sleep maxing. It's obsessing over the perfect night's sleep. And I've actually seen this on my algorithm, like giving you a bunch of different ways to help your sleep and give you the best sleep ever. Mm-hmm. And it's actually causing more anxiety for people to try to maximize the sleep. So they're getting the worst sleep of their life.
This is perfect.
Put down the phone. Put down the app.
So this is people who are going to an app to guide them in how to live a healthy life.
Yep.
And it is creating so much anxiety about getting the perfect night's sleep that they're staying awake all night, unable to sleep because of the anxiety.
Correct.
Right.
It's having the opposite effect.
Yeah. I mean, I've taken some things I've heard on TikTok to maximize my sleep, and it's worked. It hasn't caused me any anxiety, and that's shocking. Yeah. But like mouth taping, I'm on that train now, and it's really changed the structure of my face, I'll say.
Yeah.
If you're looking to help maybe strengthen your jaw, mouth taping, highly recommend. But also like magnesium, spraying magnesium on your feet or drinking magnesium.
You know what helps sleep?
Not ASMR.
To sound like a goody two-shoes, but you know what helps you sleep? Not getting bombed. Drinking before bed precludes you from having a good night's sleep. Everything else.
No, I think a lot of people have a hard time sleeping.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that that doesn't solve everything. But if people like the biggest reason you're not sleeping well, it's like I used to booze before bed thinking it helped you sleep. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
Put magnesium on your feet?
What do you mean you put magnesium on your feet?
Yeah, it's like a spray, and you put it on the bottom of your feet. It's supposed to help like balance your hormones, which a lot of women have issues with. I guess this is a more of a woman thing or female thing. But yeah, it's supposed to balance your hormones and relax you a little bit more. But I drink it more than I spray on my feet. But ASMR, like sleep ASMR, always helps.
Like the sounds?
Yeah.
Shime, if you grab News Cut 10... There's one of these TikTok sleep maxers describing what their ritual is.
To ensure that I get high quality deep sleep. Number one, I take a high quality magnesium based sleep supplement, which is absolutely amazing for reducing stress and anxiety, allowing you to sleep better. Number two is mouth tape. I tape my mouth shut every night because it forces nasal breathing, which is not only going to improve your quality of sleep, but it's also amazing for your lung health and facial structure. Number three is nose strips, which helps with my nasal breathing. And lastly, number four, I wear blue light blocking glasses. These are going to minimize the effects of the blue light exposure I get from screens, and I put these on about 1 to 2 hours before I go to sleep.
And it only cost me $1,000 to go to sleep every night.
So let's say you're walking down Broadway in Southie this afternoon, lovely day, and some stranger comes up to you with tips about how to sleep. Would you listen to them?
No.
Yes.
So why do you listen to some stranger online?
Because they're saying, like, from my advice, this has really helped, and yeah.
I've done the mouth taping, but I
love
that's
the mouth taping.
Supposed to help you with snoring.
I think you were at a freak off.
I thought you were at dinner.
Shime, what?
What happened to people just, I don't know, going to bed and sleeping?
Yeah. Pillows.
That's easier said than done.
Pillows are great.
I get my sleep max. I get a pillow.
Grab a fan. That's good white noise.
So, like, this dude has blue glasses on, blue blocking glasses on 4 hours before he's going to sleep.
I do that too.
So what do you just lay in the bed with the blue blockers?
No, like
on?
When I'm watching TV or on my phone,
you
I wear
be
the
on
glasses.
Your phone before bed. That impacts it.
But for 4 hours before bed, like once I do my night routine, like skincare, brush my teeth, everything, and we have the TV on, I put on those glasses.
And what are the glasses help you see the TV better?
No, it doesn't really change the way you can see the TV. It just blocks out the blue light, which is supposed to interrupt your sleep.
I think I'm going to start one of these, Greg, and I'm going to say the perfect way to get a great night's sleep that I do every night. I lay in bed, I watch an episode of anime, and then I close my eyes. And that's how I go to sleep every day.
Yeah. Must be nice.
I just fall asleep right in the middle of the show, whatever I'm watching. But that's right. That's an old man thing. Jeez. All right. Great job, Courtney.
Thank you.
That is the news. We are awaiting Gerard Mayo here at Gillette Stadium. He will join us coming up at 9:30 on a Mayo Monday here at WEEI.
That is Gerard Mayo post-game, and we will find out in about a half an hour whether anything has changed when it came to what they saw on film. And although it seems like the bright side of the road that the great Van Morrison was singing about is a considerable distance from here currently when it comes to this New England Patriots team. So,
That was right before the flight.
Yes.
So maybe after the flight, they get home, they evaluate, they watch a little bit more film, and then they go,
Maybe.
Maybe, like his intro, things don't change.
Maybe. Maybe they are, Wiggy. Maybe.
This Sunday, Greg, you alluded to it earlier, it is going to be ugly. Just ugly.
I mean, the weather is hopefully going to be nice. So maybe you already bought your tickets. You're not going to be able to unload them secondary market-wise, and maybe you just take a run out for a beautiful Sunday at Gillette.
Do you think they do a haphazard Tom Brady thing so they get people in the building?
What else could they do?
I don't know. Statue, that was what I was told last time.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's going to be sad after halftime. If things are looking ugly and Jacoby Brissett's in there and it's just lackluster, people are going to, even if it's nice out, even if it's a beautiful day, like people have other things they're going to want to go do.
Right.
You
can just hang out at your house outside, not have to pay $70 to park.
There are a considerable amount of people, though. I don't know if you see it on the text line. You see it in the poll that we did this morning. Considerable amount of people or fans who believe that they're doing the right thing by waiting on Drake May.
So that's because the sheep then bought in to all the noise.
You're suggesting that anybody who has an opinion is a sheep.
No, I'm saying anybody who believes it, who believes what they're selling out there is being sold a bill that is phony, it's fake. This whole narrative,
it's a mirage
of them, of the people who go, they don't want to play him because they're afraid he's going to get hurt. Why then draft the kid?
What are they building? That's my question. We all are told it's a rebuild.
It's a rebuild.
What are they building?
It's a ground up, apparently. It's a ground up rebuild.
But how are you building anything for the future right now? What are you building?
You miscalculated horribly when it came to the offensive line.
The amount of money they spent on it?
We talked about this when I called your award-winning show Saturday.
That's right.
Trent Brown is gone, and you don't really have you don't really do anything to replace him.
This roster, this team is a choice by Robert Kraft. It is not the unfortunate result of bad decisions.
Well, what about players? Maybe big money guys don't want to come here. That's going to be an argument.
Wiggy, I'll ask the player in the room. What usually speaks the loudest?
Money.
Okay. So while maybe you weren't going to get Ayuk, maybe you weren't going to get Ridley in Tennessee because of his fiance, whatever. The fact is that this offensive line was a major problem last year, and it got worse. They have scored 20 more points under Alex Van Pelt than they did under Matt Patricia through four games. This is a decision made by the ownership group to not invest.
But can I ask you if And I don't know who is making the decision. Is Gerard Mayo making the ultimate decision on who his starter is?
No.
Is Elliot Wolf making it? Are Robert and Jonathan making it? Who is making it?
It's the Krafts. Because you remember what they did with Elliot Wolf at the draft? They didn't give him the title until after the draft. Do you want to know why you would do that? So you ensure the guy you're hiring is going to execute the plan you want, not the one they want, because they don't have the job yet.
Okay, so that person making that decision this morning, in light of David Andrews being out, is that gonna further delay the potential start week of Drake May?
I guess. I mean, it's such a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's like the Red Sox. We're going to build a team that's not championship ready, and at the deadline, we're not going to add because the team's not ready to win a championship. It's the chicken or the egg. They elected. Look at the Bucks, okay? we can all say that they went all in with Tom, right? We all agree. They've rebuilt faster twice since Tom left here. In the amount of they sold out for Tom, and then they rebuilt with Baker Mayfield. They won a playoff game, and look where they are. They have a roster that is full of talented players, and you get talented players by paying them market value.
Yeah.
It's really not this.
It's not even market value here, though. They got to pay more. We go back, and Greg's been on it since the beginning. The millionaire tax is going to hurt us.
Right.
And now to hear Bill once removed to back you up on that, like, that's a real concern. So it's not market value for these guys. The Crafts need to take out the checkbook and pay extra.
The millionaire tax is a total ruse. It's only for half the games. You only get the tax when you're in Massachusetts, and you're talking about $40,000 for every $1 million. Not a big deal.
All right, so the millionaire tax is not a big deal then.
No.
But it seems like they went after a guy.
I'm sorry, it is a big deal, because if you're looking at Massachusetts, if you're looking at against Florida and other places that you want to play, why do you want to come to New England where it's cold all the time, it's miserable all the time, and then, oh, by the way, you also have to pay this tax? It does play into it.
So, but Curtis is right. You only get taxed for the home games.
Yeah. Okay. Any money off the table, all of these guys, they nickel and dime over everything.
So why do they go to New York and California?
We heard guys that are on the actual team talking about it in a podcast this season where they said.
Well, I think when they compare it to like places like Tennessee and Florida and Texas, like they look at it. But guys,
that's important.
But guys go to New York.
LA, it's more
California.
Flashy. You talk about the nightlife. That you got that in New York. Everywhere else has something else to give. Massachusetts needs to put more out there. It's not the Patriots of the past. Mm-hmm. You don't have Tom Brady. You don't have Bill Belichick. You need to offer something else to attract players here.
And they chose not to spend that premium.
Okay, and we're all on the same page here.
That's the problem. That's what this is Robert Kraft's fault. It is the ownership's decision to not spend at the top of the market what it was required to get the players here.
But Boomer said moments ago on this radio station that what he saw yesterday from that offensive line, from that offense in general, is going to look far worse with Drake May running it.
Boomer!
How does he know that?
I mean, it looks pretty good
in Washington.
Played in the league for a long time.
But it looks good in Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, Bo Nix looks all right in Denver. Caleb Williams looks all right in Chicago. I mean, why is it that all these other rookies...
Caleb Williams hasn't looked as good as people
thought. No. I'm not saying he's great, but why is it that all these other rookies that are playing and there's no concern from these experts of killed?
The argument is that they have a much better offensive line. Like, this offensive line...
The Bears do not have a better offensive line. If you've watched any of their games, Caleb Williams is under duress every single play.
Well, they're able to run the football an awful lot.
Well, yeah, but you were...
Yesterday, prior to that, they were the worst rushing offense in football.
Right. You were, prior to maybe this week, you were top 10 when it came to rushing. You're right around 12. So you run the football well. So let's not, like, you can't use that as an excuse. Like, you can run the football. So that's going to help out a young player. When you look at some of these other teams and where they are when
it's not, if you cannot go down the field at all, then there is zero concern when it comes to a defense worrying about that. They're able to do what they did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Stack it up and shut you down.
Right.
And that's why, you know, Jerod Mayo on this show week one said, you know, we're going to run the football. We're going to be a run-first football team. We're going to run it down your throat. And then if you try to stop us on that, we're going to bring something else. We're going to bring the kitchen sink out. The other things don't exist.
You're the worst team in the league passing. Worst team. You average 111 yards, I believe, 112 yards per game throwing the football.
Yeah.
You're the worst team. So
you're missing the dual part of the dual threat.
Yeah. So, no, but I agree with your offensive line, but I don't know what these receivers are.
Okay.
How do we know what they are?
Well, how do you feel about it? Is it Drake May time or not? 617-779-7937. We talked about it a lot this morning. You could talk about it all day long. And then we'll talk about it with Jerod Mayo. But it might be good to line. We need to line some support up for May County, for Drake May time. So maybe Jerod is listening while he's working out or taking a nap or whatever. And Let's go. Is it Drake May time? 617-779-7937. It is a Mayo Monday. Gerard Mayo coming up at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium.